Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Today's show is going to be about plants that changed the world.
Yes. Well, some of them almost changed the world.
Almost?
Yeah. And the ones that I... I got it from that book that you gave me for my birthday by Chris Beardshaw called 100 Plants That Almost Changed the World.
Oh, almost.
But yours might be Game Changers, World Changers.
Yeah. And
I call this segment Groundbreaking Plants.
Okay. Oh, that's a good title for it. Now, Karen, that book had 100 plants in it, but we're not going to go through... Like 100.
Oh, I don't know, mate. How long have you got?
Oh, I don't know.
This has suddenly turned into 10 sessions.
So we'll see how we go, listeners. Yes, because there's so many plants that, I don't know, they're just essential for us, or they have somehow changed the way we live, or I don't know. So it's really hard to narrow it down. But for my list and my part, I thought I would... first, concentrate on the plants that sort of changed New Zealand, our part of the planet.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Aotearoa. So I would focus on those ones first. And then I had a big long list of all the other plants that I, in my opinion, are world changers.
I'm doing my pretend surprised face look right now.
So can I go first, Karen?
By all means.
Okay. So on my list of plants that changed New Zealand, the top one, can you guess?
Kauri?
No.
Is this like pre-colonisation?
How would you call it? Well,
I guess post, because you're calling it New Zealand.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's one that I've just been eating.
Kawakawa?
No, it comes in chip form.
Oh, kumara.
No.
Taro.
No. Okay. Stop the guessing game. Potato.
I know. I realised that.
I love potato.
Yeah.
Now, so when Māori came to the land of the long white cloud, they brought along with them the kumara, the taro, and all the other edible plants that they had back in the islands.
Yeah.
But they didn't really do that well in our climate, which is cold and rainy and cooler. And so when the Europeans came and visited, they brought along with them the humble potato.
Yeah.
And the Māori were like, yeah, this looks like our kumara, and it's tasty. And it grows, like, you can get two crops from it rather than just one.
Yeah.
So
it sort of cradles both communities, the Europeans and the Maoris, quite nicely.
Yeah.
So I could understand why you were struggling with my technical question there. Yeah.
It can grow from Cape Reinga down to Bluff.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. Yeah,
if they were getting sick of kumara or there wasn't a good crop year, the potato filled in.
I mean, I love kumara, but I don't know if I could eat it like all the time. It's like a treat.
Yeah. I practically have potatoes every day.
Yeah?
In some form.
Yeah.
And yes, I know Chinese, we eat rice every day as well, but I'm actually being, I guess you could call it, assimilated. The potato.
You don't say.
The potato eating group.
I fully thought you were fresh off the boat from Beijing, Selena.
No. Okay. So potatoes did bring about a change for everybody. And... they also created lots more work.
Oh, okay.
Because now instead of growing kumara, we're all growing potatoes. And apparently there was fighting over who could get the most land to grow the potatoes.
Oh, no.
And there were potato raids.
And then we were saved by the Chinese market gardeners.
Oh, yes.
Who were like, oh, stop it already. Yeah. We'll do it for you. Yeah.
And plus, then we brought along some other veggies.
And for a great price.
So, so I reckon potato is right up there with the plant that sort of changed New Zealand.
That's a powerful start.
It filled up our bellies and got us all into gardening a bit more than...
The powerful potato. Yeah. What a...
And it's so easy to grow.
And it's groundbreaking.
Yes.
So, ticks all the boxes.
Number one, yay, potato.
Oh, okay. Good on you.
All right. Okay, how about you have a turn now, Karen? Because otherwise I could go on forever.
Okay, well, I'll just break it up here and there, eh? So I was going to talk about, I selected a few from the book.
Yeah.
And I was going to start with tansy.
Interesting.
For cleansing a magic circle, protecting the weir against evil spells.
Ooh.
Assisting the passage of the spirit into the afterlife. Also for repelling ants, fleas and flies. And generally assisting in the embalming of a body. There are few better horticultural contenders that almost changed the world than tansy.
Oh, interesting.
This is Chris Bedshaw's take.
Okay.
In addition to this sinister portfolio, and I think he's meaning that like in a positive light.
Mm.
Is he? I don't know. It's in it's got a lot going on in its CV, you know.
Okay.
I think that's what he meant, like, you know, watch out, you know.
Yeah.
Watch out, potato.
Yeah.
It is also highly toxic to all mammals.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And in the universally adopted language of flowers, it constitutes a declaration of war upon the recipient.
What?
That's what he writes.
So if I give you a tansy.
We've got a tansy in the community garden.
Is that yellow?
Yeah, that yellow flower one.
Yeah.
And I know that my father, being a farmer, didn't want them on the land.
No. Okay.
We'd have to go around and pull them out.
So what are we doing with our tansy in our community garden?
Well, today, I'll bring you from there through to today. So it's, tansy has been enlisted in the fight against pollutants. As research suggests that in urban and in industrial areas, it's usually deep roots and unique structure cleanse the soil of heavy metal.
Oh, wow.
I think I need to get some of that on my land.
Well, your arsenic.
Is that a heavy metal?
Yeah,
that's right. I'm remembering my own spiel. They said it's a heavy metal, but technically it was an ion something in it, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
But it might have the same drawing effect on it, especially lead and mercury. So he didn't mention arsenic. By locking them into inert compounds. He said, just remember not to compost the spent plant if you are using it for that purpose.
What do you mean to do with it then, burn it or what?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but then like, is that going to release like stuff into the air? Or maybe you just like go inside on that day when you're burning it, like, or put on your COVID mask or something.
I don't.
But yeah, tansy.
Tansy. Well, that's one I really...
You wouldn't have thought of. I was reading it, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to mention that one because it's just so random.
Yeah.
Kind of like potato now that you... not kind of like... Hang on, I need to rephrase this completely. Potato is like... Now that you've said it, it's like, oh, that's an obvious, like... game changer in plants.
Yeah.
And then you've got tansy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, why would he, you know? But then when you look at it, it was to do with like assisting in the passage of the dead. It was used in spells and all that was a big thing.
That was big back in the,
pagan times.
Yes.
I don't think there would have been a garden without it. And the fact that it is a good flea and fly repellent.
Yes.
So in those times when, you know, they didn't have proper sewers and all that, like
they would
keeping all that.
Cut it up and strew it on the floor, wouldn't they?
To keep away or plant it near their home.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
it's good entrance
repellent. Yeah, so I think it was a big player, yeah,
okay,
in its own right.
Oh.
So I put that in at number one in line.
Well, yay. Well, two number ones.
Everyone gets a certificate.
Everyone gets a certificate. Okay. Now, I'm going to find it hard to choose what my next one's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Because like they're all so, you know, unique and got wonderful things and did things. But I'm just going to stick with my theme of New Zealand ones for this episode. So the next one on my list is going to be flax.
Oh, you see, that was one of my first choices when you said which New Zealand plant.
Well, New Zealand native plant, I suppose.
Yeah.
That, yeah, doesn't really grow outside of New Zealand.
No, it doesn't.
Although it is well loved outside of New Zealand as an ornamental plant.
Really?
Like for floral decoration and everything. Yes,
well,
it really is.
Look at this exotic plant all the way from New Zealand.
Okay. Why is it was so useful for Māori? Because, well, they used it everything to make fibre and all their clothing and all their baskets. And when the Europeans did come, they saw its potential. It's useful for making ropes, which they needed a lot of in those days when they were going around in their ships.
And baskets were an essential thing in those days for many reasons, cooking, carrying stuff.
I suppose because they didn't really have the knowledge or know how to make pots, like clay pots, they would use flax.
They did, or they'd steam stuff through them. Yeah.
And then there was a big trade, like there were whole plantations of flax grown in the swamps of New Zealand.
Right.
And they were traded for muskets back in the day. So that became a huge trade or industry.
Yeah.
Until it eventually...
I wonder if any of them made it collapsed across the waters to England. I'm sure they would have.
What do you mean?
Like, if people that maybe went back to England for, you know, because there was a lot of trading beginning to happen in that time.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about that. I've been reading something that I normally wouldn't read, which is about the economic financial timeline. Yeah, I know, not something, but really interesting because around that early 1900s, nothing was really happening globally.
Yeah.
They call it the hockey stick GDP or something.
Oh, really?
And then all of a sudden, around the late 1800s, 1900s, it just curved up like a hockey stick.
Mm.
So the timeline, and then all of a sudden there was all this transfer of goods around the world because they created better ships and more people are aware of, like, oh, there's a place in the Pacific, you know. I bet you you would find some flax baskets somewhere in a museum in London or something like that that someone's brought back from, you know, the exotic first travels.
Yeah. So the humble flax or harakeke, and you look at it in your garden or around the roadside and you go, oh, it's just flax. You know?
Yeah, I know. Or you know when you've landed back in New Zealand, like, you know, if you've been lucky enough to travel, remember those days? When you can travel and you'd be like, look out the plane window and you'd see flaxes and it'd be like, oh, yeah, we're in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And also they made those massive sales, didn't they, recently in the what's the big museum down in Wellington?
Te Papa.
They had that big exhibition and they had this team of weavers intricately. Yeah. Was that flax or was it another? Maybe it was a combo.
Oh, probably would have been
they
flax.
They can get really intricate with it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible material.
Yeah. And
hard to get rid of if you don't want it in your garden. It's like, and you don't want it in your lawnmower.
Oh, true. Imagine if nylon or rope or whatever it was, it wasn't invented and we still had to rely on flax.
I think we would be just fine.
Half of New Zealand would still be covered in flax and would have plantations of it.
Yeah. Well, it grows anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think it is just as good as plastic when it comes to that sort of thing, oh, fibre.
Speaking of plastic, now that plastic bags are banned or single-use yeah. ones are banned, why don't we go back to using flex
I think baskets. Some people still do. Yeah, they're yeah, great.
Why not?
You yeah, know. They're a great, like they're strong.
Yep, they're pretty strong, sturdy.
Hold your bag of potatoes.
And eventually.
And, roast beef yeah, in there quite yeah. easily.
Yeah, I think they're perfect for
and they look
veggies.
Cool.
Like if you want to carry your veggies.
Rather they
than,
look cool.
Yeah, they look cool. We should just start a trend of making it fashionable again.
I'm going to have to brush up on my weaving skills.
Yeah, we'll have to start at weaving classes.
I quite like those flax kites that are like really, they're really thinly. Am I thinking of the same material?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
yeah.
there's some. I've seen some of the ladies.
Yeah. So not just a whole lease, but like getting
like,
it fine.
I prefer the finer ones yeah. just because I always tend to lose like stuff.
Oh, through the hole.
As it is. I don't need
oh,
any
okay.
right. encouragement.
Right. Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That's just my own personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Become. I'm obsessed with fine weaving today, but yeah. I want to learn that.
Okay. All right.
Let's do it. Let's yeah. put that on our bucket
yeah,
list.
Yeah, I've got
learn
to
learn how to properly weave.
Weave, yeah.
Something.
Learn how to weave. Mm. Okay, your turn, Karen.
Right, so we are going to move on to the goji berry. So when Western scientists tentatively examined an innocuous plant from Japan, their interest was aroused when lab results indicated that a known active constituent and an amino acid called betaine was present in high quantities. So, why is that? What's the deal with the betaine?
Yeah, what is betaine?
It contained all 10 amino acids considered essential to health.
Ooh, okay.
Subsequently, this previously ignored relative to the tomato, did you know that it was related to the tomato?
No.
I didn't.
No.
Commonly called goji berry or wolf berry, has demonstrated an ability to project the liver, protect the liver, reduce blood sugar levels and enhance the immune system via polysaccharides. The fruit is rich in linoleic acid, which is what we need for the construction of cell walls,
mm-hmm.
and it also prevents fats from being deposited on blood vessel walls. Tannins reduce inflammation while also containing vitamins A, B1 and iron. Does your mum or dad take, because a lot of Asian people, isn't that one of the
it is
popular?
Quite a, like used in herbal medicine and we have tried to grow it and it doesn't seem to take in our garden.
No, but, I haven't really seen it.
Yeah, it is up there as a
yeah.
remedy. So,
I wondered that. I've tried it in tea and stuff, and I was like, I don't know.
It doesn't really bowl me over. But hearing that it's got all the amino acids was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe it's time to try it again.
A superfood.
Scientists officially declared goji a superberry.
Okay.
Only to find it occupied, yeah, and this is why I asked.
Yeah.
So they were cottoned on,
yeah.
okay, and this was started in Japan
mm.
in a lab, and then they found that it occupied a prominent position in the oldest Chinese herbal called Sinubonzugu, which dates back over 1,800 years.
Yeah.
So they knew about it all the way back then without all the fancy lab equipment. according to this very old, what they call Chinese herbal, I think mm-hmm. it's just like a, you know, health book, the fruits nourished the liver and kidney, and that was mentioned up there, I think, somewhere. I mentioned that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Protects the liver.
The liver. Good listening, Selena. And made an excellent tonic to combat fatigue, lumbago, dullness, vertigo, anemia, and failing eyesight.
Oh.
It was also claimed that it was no finer gift presented at the royal courts. So if you were ever invited to the royal courts, you'd take a bag of goji berries with you.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there was, I don't know how it made it to, it almost changed the world.
Almost? Has changed. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, listeners, if you...
But maybe it saved a lot of Chinese people's health back in the day.
Possibly, yes. I'll have to ask Mum about that, whether she reckons.
Ask her about goji berries and the history.
Yeah, yeah. I know she has tried to grow it, and it sort of...
So it's obviously a plant that's... Because, I mean, is your mum what you would classify as a gardener?
Oh, not really.
But then she... She suggested.
No, well, she knows, well, anyone that's Chinese sort of has a vague knowledge of certain plants.
Interesting.
That are useful and helpful because, herbal medicine is a big thing. Yeah, that's so interesting. I think it doesn't do well in where we are, maybe because of our soil or climate. Maybe it needs somewhere warmer.
I think we need to look into that.
Yeah.
Right, write that down.
Yeah. Well, you can find it in the garden centres. I see them in the herb section. So maybe give it a go.
Is it like, it's in the tomato family, so does it look kind of like a...
I think it's...
Or is it like a little woody.
Shrubby, woody.
Ah.
But not
like
big.
A blueberry. Mm. Why there... No? Mm, okay.
Kind of.
I'm going to look out for it.
Yeah. Yeah, give it a go, listeners.
Email us and let us know how you get on if you decide to.
It could change everything. Oh, okay, Karen, is that all you have on?
Sounding a bit dramatic there, Selena.
Goji berries, because I have...
It came to an end.
He only
had like small excerpts, but I didn't want to go too overboard today.
All right, because I have a berry that has actually changed... Well, our part of the world anyway. And it is actually from China.
Gooseberry?
Yes.
Oh, that was such a guess.
Chinese gooseberry.
But it's yummy.
In other words, our kiwi fruit.
Oh, the Chinese gooseberry. Okay, what's the one that Mike grows down at the garden? Is that not a gooseberry?
That's Cape gooseberry. That's
Cape.
Something different.
Right.
But, originally was called the Chinese gooseberry, but now we know it as the kiwi fruit.
Yes. Is that all kiwi fruits, like the green kiwi fruit and the golden kiwi fruit?
Yeah.
All of them.
Okay, so back in 1904, a school teacher from Whanganui was visiting her sister in China. And brought back this mysterious new plant. It was apparently had really, really nice fruit. And, it started growing and people cottoned on. That was really nice to eat. And back at that time, all the other fruit trees were starting growing in New Zealand. They had apples, oranges and everything else. And they didn't have... This was new. This was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly was. I remember, I think, in the 90s when my mum was like, oh, you've got to try this. Really good. Yeah. And it keeps you... Bowels consistent, and I was like, ugh, sounds gross, but now there's nothing better than a kiwi fruit.
Yeah. So in 1930s, there were orchards established, and by 1959, we were exporting a huge number overseas, and the name got changed to kiwi fruit.
Is that even legal?
What?
Why didn't we call it the Chinese gooseberry?
Because they wanted a name like it was a new fruit, and... I don't know.
That seems a bit weird.
Identify it with New Zealand, so the name kiwi fruit's stuck.
Interesting.
I mean, it does sort of look like a kiwi bird. I mean, it's brown and furry.
I'm just surprised with like all this like copyright stuff these days, and
that actually they forgot to patent the name.
Oh, did they?
And so anyone can grow it and call it kiwi fruit. It doesn't have to come from New Zealand. And so what happened was the exporter, well, they all banded together and decided, let's trademark it and name it Zespri.
Oh,
remember?
Yes. They didn't really take off though.
I still call it kiwi fruit.
But it is actually Zespri.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the growers have started to brand it as Zespri.
So if you would have, like, if you are overseas and you saw kiwi fruit, it would be called Zespri.
Well, it would have a sticker on it and it would have Zespri name on it.
I wonder if people call it kiwi fruit overseas.
Yeah, they do. They call it kiwi. They don't even bother calling it fruit. Yeah. They just call it, I'm going to eat some kiwis.
It's not funny how things turn out.
But at least it gets New Zealand out there and, like, to know that we are a land of fruit and milk and honey.
Well,
and
that's great and all, but apparently the amount of insecticides that they have to use on those, or what, not insects, fungus, or is it the virus that's getting into the kiwi fruit?
Well, that's because we grow so much of it in monoculture. Like, you grow too much of anything, eventually affected by pests and disease. So in the Bay of Plenty, a lot of the dairy farmland was given over to orchards because it grows really well there.
Oh, yeah.
And they got really, really rich out of the export crop.
Okay. And then the virus hit.
Yeah, and the virus.
This is sounding like a common sort of theme these days.
I wonder
the virus hit.
So we have our golden age of prosperity. Everyone's getting rich.
And then the virus hits.
With kiwi fruit, they usually grow it on a T-bar, so the vine, it's a vine, so you grow it.
It's quite a high one. You can stand underneath it.
Yeah, and then you can pick the fruit when it's hanging down. And you also need male and female plants to get the pollination, so they need to have at least two. And also beekeepers and kiwi fruit growers are sort of in sync because the bees will help pollinate the kiwi fruit.
Oh, nice.
So you might as well make honey as well as export your kiwi fruit.
Yeah. I think there's even been a combo, like a kiwi honey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
I think I've tried it. I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Maybe I need to give it another go.
So if you were to name a fruit or a plant that has sort of brought riches to New Zealand, even originally from China, I'd give you the kiwi fruit.
Right, interesting. Yeah. It certainly has changed our little world down under, that invasion.
Yeah.
It's a good invasion, though.
It's too bad because we can't, it's not in the garden centre. I can't get a cutting or anything since that virus.
You
were not allowed to grow it. We have to be quite regulated to grow. So I'm like,
I wonder if do they have a what do you call it, PSA? Is that the?
Oh, they have to screen it for the virus.
Do they have a PSA resistant?
I think they're working on it. I know that when I was working in an orchard and the virus hit, the owner decided he'd rip out all his kiwi fruit vines and plant avocados instead.
So
maybe that will be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got time for one. We only got like a minute or so.
I'm going to say a hard no because I know what we get like.
We'll get carried away. But if you tune in next week, we'll have more because I'm sure you haven't got to the end of your list.
Well, I did want, when we were going to mention the fundraiser, if we had time, I think we can maybe mention that quickly. Okay, so yeah, let's do that. So at the moment, so just for those of you, I'm sure you've heard, Planet FM is on the move. Okay, so we are going to, they call it its new forever home, which is that what they're calling it? Are they actually calling it that? Is that an expression? I don't know. Anyway, I'm just reading the brochure. A place to share with our friends. We are so close to making it happen, and now we're asking for your help. So every dollar counts. So you can just contact Planet FM if you'd like to do that. Just have a look on the website. We've got a givealittle.co.nz/cause/planetfm. So that would be super cool. Thanks, guys.
Moving studios, yay.
Ka kite.
Okay, listeners. Happy gardening.